First, I apologize from the beginning about my English. It's not the best English, but I believe you understand me like in other communities they did understood me. I would start with raising a question. What was the reason for the two temples to be destroyed in Tisha B'Av? The regular answers that the more common to hear is that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilui Arayot, Sinat Chinam, sorry, Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damim, and Avodah Zarah. The second temple, the common answer is because of Sinat Chinam. In my short lecture, I will raise another possibilities, and in order to do so, we will. I'm taking you back to Parashat Shlach Lecha. Parashat Shlach Lecha, when Moshe sent Meraglim, spies, to Eretz Israel. Let's remember, sending the spies was not so long after getting the Torah in Har Sinai. It was a year after they left Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu did the miracles in Mitzrayim, opening Yam Suf. And a year after, and meantime, many other miracles, almost daily miracles. And a year after, when they are heading to Eretz Israel, so we are facing an idea that is coming from Bnei Israel to Moshe, and the idea is to send meraglim, spies. Let's see what is really Eretz Israel all about. Let's see if what we were told from God's words is correct. Let's see if we can face the nation that are on the way to Eretz Israel, that and they live in Eretz Israel. First time people are putting some doubts about what Moshe said on behalf of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Behalf of Hashem. But before we go back to, we continue from the Meraglim, I will go back to the first reason that we are more common, it's more common to hear about that the first, second temple was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam, and the first about, because of the three very bad scenes of Gilui Arayot, Avodah Zarah, and Shfichut Damim. If we talk about Sinat Chinam, first of all, there's no doubt about Chazal, in Chazal, that the tikkun to Chorban Bayit Rishon and Chorban Bayit Sheni was, with the same kind of thing. Meaning, if it's Sinat Chinam, we need to have a lot of Ahavat Chinam. And Shfichut Damim, so there will not be Shfichut Damim, and there will not be Gilui Arayot, and not Avodah Zarah. The question is, what Ahavat Chinam? Let's start with Ahavat Chinam. Ahavat Chinam, Chazal are saying, it's not Ahavat Chinam just between Ben Adam Lechavero, between people. It's also Ahavat Hashem, Ahavat Torah, and also Ahavat Eretz Israel and Am Israel. Meaning, love also of the people and love of Eretz Israel. About the first temple, when we deal about the three scenes of Gilui Arayot, Avodah Zarah, and Shfichut Damim, on this three scenes, it's written Ya'areg Uval Ya'avor. It's not a simple scene. It's not to lignob from somebody. Ya'areg Uval Ya'avor. It means that it's something that you should be killed in order not to you should kill yourself and not to do this kind of things. In Chazal we find saying that besides the destruction of the temples, Bnei Israel also went to the diaspora, to the Galut. And why did they went to the Galut? Why they were punished to go to the Galut? This is because they liked the Mammon. It's written, "Mipnei ma galu, mipnei she'ohavim et ha-mamon, ve'sonim ish et re'ehu." It means because they desired and they liked money and property, and they hate each other. Ahavat mamon, to like the money and to desire to more money all the time, this is one of the things that can get you to do other things, like to steal from somebody, sometimes even to kill somebody for the money. But it's also creating a situation that you will not give tzedakah. You will not give tzedakah because you want your money to stay in your own pocket, in your own family. And Chazal are saying that during Bet HaMikdash, the second Bet HaMikdash was built, Bnei Israel were makpidim b'me'asrot, meaning they were very strict in collecting the ma'aser, even from the poor people. They didn't have the money, they were chasing them and collecting the money even from the poor people. And this is part of the culture that was then, that was during the Second Temple, of preferring the money, and even if it's for the ma'asrot, for Bet HaMikdash, and even if it's so, if it says, if it's mean, to go after the poor people and to put a lot of pressure on them so they will pay the ma'asrot for Bet HaMikdash. In the Midrash, he's saying three people were passion on the land of Eretz Israel. They had some passion to the land of Eretz Israel, but their passion didn't come from the right place. And therefore, they didn't got any benefit from their passion. The first person was Cain, that at the end killed his brother. The second is Noach. Noach, Ish Adama, it's written on him, about him. And he planted his vineyard, and he ended to be drunk and to Gilui Arayot because of his passion to the land. The third person was Uzziah Melech. That it's written about him, on him, that he was Oev Adama. He loved the land. So we have Cain, Oved Adama, that worked the land. We had Noach, that he was the land Ish Adama. I don't know what to say. Land man. And we have Uzziah, that was Oev, loved the Adama. But this Uzziah, where he ended that he so loved himself and liked himself that he was asking to be even the Kohen Gadol. And he ended to get to be Metzora, to be punished. So we see if our desire to the land of Eretz Israel is not coming from the right place, so we will end not in the right place also. But even so, the love of Eretz Israel, the desire to the land of Eretz Israel, this is also the tikkun. The tikkun to the churban. Because now I want to go back to the chet of the meraglim. Let's go back to the chet of the meraglim, parashat Shlach Lecha. The same night that they heard what's going on in Eretz Israel, what was the response of Bnei Israel, of the Edah? Somebody remember? The response was that the same night it's written Kol Ha'eda. Kol. Not just Ha'eda. Meaning Kol. It's a Mefarshim are saying it was the Sanhedrin. All the Sarei Asarot, Sarei Meot, everybody came same night raised their voice and cried. They cried because they heard what is happening in Eretz Israel, according to the Meraglim. Chazal are saying, and this is where it will connect to what I said just before about the reasons of the destruction of the two temples. Chazal are saying that at this night, it was the night of Tisha B'Av. They said that this is the night that Kadosh Baruch Hu also decided, not because of Sinat Chinam in the second temple, not because of Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damim, and Avodah Zarah of the first temple. Kadosh Baruch Hu punished us, because we are still without Beit HaMikdash, punished us and punished Bnei Israel for all generations because of the sin of the Meraglim. Because when the Meraglim came, the only thing they looked on, the only thing they think about, is about if we will have good land, if we will have maybe we need to struggle with, you know, Anakim. They didn't saw the Ruchniut, the spiritual of the land of Eretz Israel. And it all started because they didn't believe in what Kadosh when Hashem promised us, not to us, promised already to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So it's written in the Ramban. Ramban is saying that same night Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to do Midah keneged Midah. If you, Bnei Israel, this night came and cried for nothing, but it's because you didn't believe that Eretz Israel will be given to you, that I will fight for you and I will protect you. Because of that, I am punishing you from this time, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, to all generations, to mourn this night of Tisha B'Av. This symbolic thing of the chet of the Meraglim, that is, it's we are facing it today, and we will face it until the third temple will be built. This is something that is is escorting us, or is melave. It's melave. Carrying over with every generation of the Jewish nation since then. More than that, most of us believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is what is written in Chukat. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't enter to Eretz Israel. Why? What is written in Parashat Chukat? Somebody knows? The rock. He hits the rock. This is what is written. Let's remember Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar were written by, they are the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dvarim, it's Moshe. So, Chukat, it's written that Kadosh Baruch Hu punished him because he hit the rock. But if we go back to the parasha of yesterday we read it. 1 minute, I don't have a chumash here. 1 minute. Okay, so in Parashat Dvarim, we read it just yesterday. After Moshe is describing all the story of the Meraglim, of the spies, it's written גם בי התענף השם בגללכם, לאמור גם אתה לא תבוא שם. With me as well, השם become angry because of you. This is Moshe blaming בני ישראל because of the sin of the מרגלים. And because of that, he was punished not to go to Eretz Israel. This is the way that Moshe understood the punishment of not entering to Eretz Israel. As I said before, the Mefarshim, the Chazal, are saying that the same sins that caused the destruction of the first and the second temple, we need to learn, we need to notice and to recognize what is really the reason and to learn what is a tikkun, how we can do the tikkun to this sin. So if we go back to the sin of the Meraglim, the tikkun is very simple: to talk good about Eretz Israel, to love Eretz Israel, to desire, to have passion to Eretz Israel, but passion not like Cain or Uziah or Noach, but like two people had, Yehoshua and Caleb, that were the only ones to come in, to get into Eretz Israel from the Meraglim. Today, I'm saying still, in Eretz Israel, we still have people, kind of people that are like the Meraglim, and some that are not, that are, you know, they love Eretz Israel, they like Eretz Israel, and they will do everything in order to build Eretz Israel, like Yehoshua and Caleb. We read today keynot of today in the morning, so I will quote something that I, at least, for me, it's a matter of what the way that I live all over the year. But for people, this is what I want to send to people like you, that the sentence that I'm going to read now will be a part of your life, not just for keynote once in a year. I will read it in Hebrew, then in English. Libi yave lechabek bizraot afar artzech ואחשוק בפי נשק אבנייך. My heart yearns to embarrass in my arms the dust of your land. I may see and how I desire to kiss your stones with my mouth. Why do we need to do it just in Tisha B'Av? Why not every day? Why just when we remember the sins of the Meraglim? In Yerushalayim, I want you to know that in Yerushalayim, there is still areas that are exactly like they were left after the destruction of the Second Temple. Areas that was not touched. We are there already for 67 years, 65 years, sorry. So, what are we waiting for? That the dust is there. We can come and hug the dust. We can kiss the stones. We need to build Yerushalayim. This is what is expected from us, if we want really to do the tikkun for the sin of the Meraglim. By the way, it's not just the sin. The chet of the Meraglim is not just about the first and the second temple. Chazal are saying that it will be forever, all generation, it will be a day that will be, you know, with a big chance that terrible things will happen to our nation. And we can see it happen. Beitar, the city of Beitar, not Beitar elite of today, Gush Etzion, Beitar was also destroyed in Tisha B'Av. The exile from Spain at the year 1492, Tisha B'Av. Many things happened to us. You want another? I can give you my personal opinion, Gush Katif. Bad things happen to us in this time. And we have a chance, we have a way to fix it. And if we once will fix it, maybe we will stop this chain of crisis that we are facing as a nation. So today in Yerushalayim, as I said, I will give you an example. You know the Temple Mount? The Temple Mount have a walls around it. I'm using the book just to describe. But if this is the Temple Mount, this is the Kotel, the Western Wall, Southern Wall, City of David is here, Mount of Olives is here. This is the Eastern Wall, that in the middle is the Shara Rachamim. At this corner, the east, southeast corner of the Temple Mount, it's not the wall of the old city that Suleiman, the Sultan Suleiman built 600 years ago. I'm talking about wall that the Hashmonaim built. In this corner is a place called Keren HaOfel, the Ofel Corner. It's a national garden and was declared as an antiquity site because of the wall of the Hashmonaim. You will go there today. You will find, just in the last few years, you will find that our enemies are using the wall of the Hashmonaim time of the Temple Mount as a tombstone for their graves. Just to understand what I mean, if this is one of the stones of the big wall, so here they are burying their death and they are chiseling their names on the stones that the Hashmonaim put there 2,000 more years ago. 3,000 years ago. Using stones, and we can see it. I don't need to be a special investigator. I just can walk there and see it. And like I'm seeing it, the police see that, antiquity authorities see, everybody see that. And I'm calling any one of you here that if you come to Yerushalayim, to go and see it in your own eyes. Because then you maybe will feel that the destruction is still happening. It's written that v'shachanti exactly I will find it. I have it somewhere. Never mind. I have a sentence. It's v'shachanti betocham. Baniti mikdash shachanti betocham. It means that each one of us have a mikdash in himself inside. Okay. It means that, if you're asking me, the first we need to believe Vasuli Mikdash. Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti Betocham. You will make for me a Mikdash and then I will be inside each one of you. But I read this sentence exactly the opposite. First, you should have the Mikdash inside yourself. You need to believe that we have the rights to have the Mikdash. We have the rights on Eretz Israel. We have the rights for Yerushalayim. And then, there will be a Mikdash. This is what the Meraglim didn't have. When they came to Moshe, back from Eretz Israel, and they said, better to stay here. Kadosh Baruch Hu hating us. He wanted to kill us. This is why he took us out from Mitzrayim. This is what the Meraglim said. But let's remember who were the Meraglim. I don't know, there's no one here that is even close to the level of spiritual level of the Meraglim. Meraglim were, again, it's the tribes. One generation after the Shvatim. They knew what is really be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were in Amad Har Sinai. And they are saying the Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out from Egypt, in order to kill them in Eretz Israel. So, if they can do mistakes, believe me, I can do mistakes, and all of us can do mistakes about how we think about Eretz Israel. But we need to correct ourselves. We need to overcome all kind of thoughts that we maybe were educated, we were grown up with, we were brainwashed with, that Eretz Israel is something that we should divide and give to others. Because if we will continue thinking like that, talking like that, growing our next generations like that, we can forget from Tento. Because look what happened. For Sinat Chinam, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave up with our temple. He sent first and second temple. He sent his shelichim to destroy the temple. And if we want really to see the third temple, we need to think how we first, as I said before, reading from the keynote, we are thinking daily how we can hug the dust of the land of Eretz Israel and to think about Yerushalayim more. I will give you an example of our days. If I can give example of describing how the Meraglim is still today, we can see how the Kalev and Yehoshua are between of us, and also the 10 Meraglim are between of us. 15 years ago, we came up to Maale Hazit, to Mount of Olives. It's a cemetery. Everybody knows it's a cemetery. There, Rabbi Ovadia Mibar Tenura is buried there. The daughter of Paro, wife of Shlomo, buried there. Zechariah, Malachi, Or HaChaim, Arashash, Rabbi Cook, Rabbi Goren, Gur, name it, Menachem Begin, everybody. When we came there at September 1997, the headlines of Yediot Acharonot newspaper in Israel was Madeleine Albright being quoted saying, the third world war will start in Mount of Olives because of us. So it came to the government of Israel. They need to decide. Madeleine Albright, the deputy of Bush, I think, the father. Maybe Clinton. I don't remember. No, it's Clinton. She said, so she knows. Like they know about Iran, everything. So, government of Israel decided that we, Jews, that we went to this land in Maale Hazitim, in Mount of Olives. This land was purchased at the year 1886. 1886. Before anybody here was alive, nobody knew about Herzl, not Ben Gurion, not Weizmann, not Levi Eshkol. Already then, two Jews bought this land, Moshe Wittenberg and Nissen Beck. They bought it. And we went on this land just 111 years after that, at 1997. And this is what she said. So the government had to have a decision. If we are staying there, yes or no? Like the Meraglim. Are we going to Eretz Israel? Or we are staying, going back to Egypt? Because it's better than to be killed in Eretz Israel. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen, according to the Meraglim. There was one Kalev and Yehoshua bin Nun. His name was Avigdor Kahalani. He was the police minister. And he decided, I'm taking full responsibility and I am allowing you to stay. Everybody protest against him. Everybody said that he would be blamed about this and that. And today, we are 106 families in Maale Hazitim, in Mount of Olives. Berat Hashem, we have another section already. So you see how this story of Meraglim, it's not over. It's all the time with us. The same happened if to come to Eretz Israel, yes or no, before the state was established. The people that came, make it happen. With a lot of miracle around it. The war at 1948, the war at 1967, miracles all over. But if we don't see the miracles, we think it's just a war between tanks and tanks and planes and planes. It's like today we have the missiles from Gaza going to Israel and falling all over. People say, thank God, not thank God, sorry. People are saying, it's good, we have the Iron Dome, Iron Shield. Count how many missiles the Iron Shield hit and count how many missiles fell and nothing happened. Don't you see the miracles? It's daily. It's daily miracles in Israel. And we need to wake up. And what we are trying to do. Our organization idea is to wake up the Jewish people. Not to wake up to when we will be at the edge of another disaster. To wake up now. To wake up to understand that we can choose to be Caleb and Yoshua and to go. They enter to Eretz Israel, not Moshe Rabbeinu, and not the Meraglim, because they believed in Kadosh Baruch Hu. Also Moshe believed in Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a story, this is a question, I don't have yet an answer. Why Moshe thought he was punished because of the Meraglim, and not because of the rock. But in any case, we know this is how Moshe sees the things. And if we want, today is Tisha B'Av, we know that still, Yerushalayim is under a continuation of destruction by our enemies. I will give you another example. I believe, maybe from the people that I see it, maybe five people will know that. Do you know there is today in Yerushalayim areas that nobody here is allowed to enter? How many people knew that? That because you are Jews, you are not allowed to enter in Yerushalayim. This is not Cairo or Damascus or Baghdad, where the people, Jews living there, they have freedom of movement. The only city in the world, and check me, beside Mecca, sorry, Mecca. So if we want to be another Mecca, we are the right direction. Because it's the only city in the world where Jews are not allowed to enter, not just to their holy site, I'm talking to the Temple Mount, I'm talking about something else now. 8 neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, we are not allowed to enter. It's something new. Nobody forced us to do that. But it's the same spirit of the Meraglim that is still between our people. And it's embarrassing. You see a sign, big billboard, on behalf of the government, when you go into this neighborhood, it's written, En knisa le-Israelim. Amefer hora zo, yetzapui le-tzadim pliliim, something like that. It's in English, no entrance to Israelis, listen to the word, Israelis, the one that will not listen and will go in will be exposed to lawsuits by the government. But who is living there? Who is living in these areas? It's Yerushalayim. Living there, Arabs. Israeli Arabs. So they are allowed to enter, but when you will go there, you will not allow to enter. I put it in YouTube. People didn't believe me. So I took a car and I drove. I put somebody behind of me with a camera. And you see the policeman is asking me, "What? Who are you?" I said, "Arye." "Arye?" Look at me like I fell from nowhere. So bring me ID. He's saying, no entrance to Jews. 5 minutes after, I did U-turn. I gave the car to an Arab. His name is Isa. The same car. 5 minutes. Nobody even talked with him. Like that. This is in Yerushalayim. And if we will not wake up, it will not be just 8 neighborhoods. It will be more than that. And it will not end in Yerushalayim. It will be in the Galil. It will be all over of Israel. You should know that The Arabs are not dreaming. They are doing what we did before 1948. And this is that they have funds. They have funds like we have funds. I'm not going to talk about them, but they have funds. Their funds are Saudi Arabia funds and Iranian funds. These funds are doing exactly what the JNF did before 1948. They are buying land in Eretz Israel, and especially in the strategic places. I will give you two examples. Central of Jerusalem. You know Keren HaYesod Street? Nobody doesn't know Keren HaYesod Street and King David. Opposite in Baal Hotel. There is a round building facing to the corner of Jabotinsky, Keren HaYesod, and King David. This round building is Cafe Joe and Little Italy and office on the upper floors. This building belongs to an Arab from Saudi Arabia. Okay? I got another example. Go ahead from this road, Keren HaYesod, go to the center of town, to Ben Yehuda. You will pass on the left side, OU Israel Center. After two buildings, another building of two floors belongs to another Arab from Guatemala. More, Chabatzelet Street. You know Zion Square in central town? Zion Square next to, you know, Rehov Ben Yehuda, Jaffa Street. This is a small street going down to this street from the direction of the old city called Chabatzelet. We counted that February this year, 33 apartments and offices of Arabs. Nobody is talking about it. Nobody is trying to stop it, because why not? We are a democracy country, no? Yeah. But why, when I am coming to a property that was purchased 120 years ago, all the world is on its legs. And the third world war is on the table. Why, when we are coming back to our properties in the Muslim quarter, in the old city, from every small shop they are doing a fuss. Shimon HaTzadik, the same. So, I'm saying that because not many people in Israel, and believe me, not also in the diaspora, know the facts. But I believe, like many other good things that happened to the Jewish nation, that the change will come from outside, not from inside of Israel. I believe just a pressure from outside of the Jews in the diaspora, in all kind of aspects, it's pressure. If it's a more involvement in what we do, or if it's more involvement in calling and sending faxes and emails and blogs and Facebooks and whatever it is now, I'm not so update to every minister, prime minister, etc., etc. Because Jerusalem is not mine. 70 years ago, my grandparents lived here in Bastard Street. Believe me, my grandfather didn't thought to make Aliyah, and he didn't make Aliyah. He moved to London. My father, Baruch Hashem, made Aliyah. Maybe your grandson, and your son will be in another 40 years talking here and saying what I'm saying. Let's hope not. Let's hope it will change. We don't need to stay like we are stuck today in a country, in a city, sorry, that we are not behaving like we are the owner. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. I would just say that in Masechet Brachot, Daf Hey, Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying something very clear. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to every one of us three presents. Presents, matanot. First is Torah. Beten chelkenu betoratecha. Second is Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek ba'olam haba, chay olam haba. Every one of us. The third is Eretz Israel. And this is the most, like the Torah, is the most difficult. Torah, you can learn in Toronto, you can learn in London, you can learn everywhere, you can learn Torah. Chaya Olam Abba, if you will keep the two others, Torah and Eretz Israel, maybe you will have Chaya Olam Abba. In a month we are going to say, LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Ishi Mimi Ira. David HaMelech wrote it when he was suffering and he was already old king. But he had one request from Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was the request? Somebody know what was the request? No? The request was, Achat, Shaalti, what is Achat? Achat Shaalti met Hashem, Ota Avakesh. Shifti Bevet Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. Lachazot Benom. He asked one thing in his last days. Was that to sit in the house of Hashem? I want to say, the Chida is saying, what is Achat? Aleph, the Chida is saying, what David said, Achat Shalti Meit Hashem, Tavakesh, is mean, Achat is Aleph, is Eretz Israel. Chet, it's Chaye Olam Abba, and Taf, it's Torah. It's the same three gifts that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai talked about. And we need to understand, if we were gifted, the question is if we are denying the gifts. So I don't believe that anybody here denied the Torah. If you are here, I believe you have something to do with the Torah. And if you are here, I believe anyone wants to see Chaye Olam Abba. So what about Eretz Israel? Let's learn from the chfin of the Meraglim. Let's learn from what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote, what David asked in the last days. No time for that? Okay. So, there's no time. So this is that. This is our message. My message is, don't wait every Tisha B'Av to open the keynote and to cry and to mourn. If you're asking me, we should mourn every day about Yerushalayim. And if you're asking me, we need to desire to hug and to kiss the stones of Yerushalayim daily. And if we will do so, I hope that the same tikkun that the Ramban is talking about, and the Maharal is also talking about, the tikkun of the reason why the second and the first temple was destroyed, the tikkun will be in our days. In Yerushalmi is written, and this is where I will finish. In the Yerushalmi it's written that every door, every generation, that in his time, the temple is not built, it's like this generation was responsible to the destruction of the first and the second temple. So, at least I want to see the temple. And I believe anyone here wants to see the temple built in our generation, in our time. So, please do all of, again, thinking, dreaming about Yerushalayim. One example, and this is why I'm really ending, sorry. It's a simple thing that anyone here can adopt in order to think a bit more about Yerushalayim. And this is to choose the same day like the Levi'im chose Yom Yerushalayim. In Bet HaMikdash, Arishon, the first and the second, there was one Yom that was Yom Yerushalayim. What is that? It's one day every week that was Yom Yerushalayim in Bet HaMikdash. Somebody knows? I will give you a clue. Shir Shel Yom. Nobody yet? Shir Shel Yom of Monday. Sobo Tzion Ve'akifua. Sipru Migdalea. There's one day that when you enter to the Bet HaMikdash, you hear the Levi'im singing a song about Yerushalayim. And the song is telling you, go and look at Yerushalayim, count the towers of Yerushalayim, and tell to all generations what glory and nice city is Yerushalayim. This is what they sang. And we are still saying the same Shir Shel Yom today, in our Sidurim. So if the Levi'im chose Monday, I don't know why it was Monday, but it was Monday, for Yom Yerushalayim, weekly. So I'm asking each one here that if davening shacharit, adopt Yerushalayim every Monday. And think about Yerushalayim. Let's start with Monday. Then you can call us and we can help you every day, every week, all along the year. And I just hope that in Tir Shana Ba'a, Tisha B'Av, we will see, we will not mourn, we will be celebrating. You are welcome to bring your korbanot to my house in Mount of Olives. And from there, together, I will escort you to Bet HaMikdash.